and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all.
And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Greetings, friends. This is Pastor David, and I am with my good friend and brother in Christ,
Pastor Barry.
Yes. And here we are for another program of Glorious Day.
It is a glorious day.
Oh, praise God. It may be raining where you are, or snowing if you're listening online, or sleeting, you know, or I hope there's no volcanoes erupting. But if there are, you got to think it's a good day in the Lord. And we're excited about that. We're starting another three-week series tonight. Everything seems to come in threes, brother. You know,
that's true. That is true, David.
You know,
it started with the Trinity, I believe.
I think it did start with the Trinity, and that's a great theme. You know, someday if we're really courageous, we might do a series on the Trinity
because we're not that smart.
Well, I think before I would admit to not being that smart, which I'm probably not, I'm also not that courageous. You know, but there is. I've read some great theological treatises on the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get past the struggles some people have had, really, because God decided, I mean, they didn't decide. That's how God is. But we'll deal with that another time.
That's right.
But also the theme for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be dealing with three things the devil wants to steal from you. Okay? I mean, these are biblical, and both Barry and I have some experiential stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to give you the list, and then we're going to take one of them tonight in order as I list them. The first thing the devil wants to steal from you is your peace.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Because we all want that, and that is a gift. Everything, by the way, that he wants to take from you is a gift from God. He can't wrest it from you under his own authority. You have to let him take it.
Mm-hmm.
So your peace is the first one. Your hope will be the one we'll deal next week. And then the third thing that the devil wants to steal from you is your joy. And we're going to be going deep into all those. But tonight, we're going to look at your peace. And there's some scripture that my brother Barry is going to read. One verse from John 10:10 we will read every week. Because that's the base scripture that tells us about what the devil's plan is. And then we'll have some separate scripture to read that covers each point. So before we go any further and I tell my story, Barry, would you read the scripture for us, please?
Yes, sir. First reading is from the Gospel of John 10:10 The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Our next scriptural reading is from Philippians 4:4-7 Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen, brother. It certainly is.
That just put a smile on my face. And I was a little pooped out today.
Yeah, well, we both had rough days. And when you get into the word and you read.
You're fed. You're spiritually fed and refilled. Yeah,
fills my tank, bro. You know, my spiritual tank. So how did we come about with this? Well, I have to admit. This particular theme came to me out of my own experience over the last couple of weeks. And so in a nutshell, I like to tell you, listeners, what that experience was. And I'm going to start by saying that it was a Sunday, the 24th of January.
Okay.
And I arose from bed. That was a We have our home church. I got up early. I wanted to make sure the scriptures are ready and everything else. But I wasn't really that well awake. And so I also had a cramp in my right leg. And so I don't particularly like cramps. I hope you don't either. They're very painful. And so because I was getting up anyway and I had this cramp, I got up out of the bed and I was starting to stretch out my legs to get rid of the cramp, or the leg rather. But because I wasn't fully awake, I lost my balance and I fell. And when I fell, and as you all know, it's not the fall that hurts you, it's that sudden stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had my left hand out to stop my movement when I hit the floor. And the end result was that I broke a bone in my left hand. So being told by people wiser than I that I should have it checked out, I went to my doctor, who sent me to get x-rays and then made an appointment with an orthopedic surgeon.
And so it begins.
And so it begins. You know, it's over the, and I went for about a week or so, maybe not a week, a few days with a very useless thing on my hand.
It's kind of cool looking, though.
Well, this is actually not the useless thing, but it's next to useless because it didn't do the job. So the orthopedic surgeon put a splint, hoping that would do the job, but it did not. And so he then arranged surgery. Well, and because today you can't really even say pick the food out between your teeth without having a medical, you know, a whole medical thing going on to make sure that everything is right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I'm trying to paint for you is a picture of a series of frustrating events, Bill, trying to build up to getting this surgery authorized.
Right.
We had a date, but I had a couple of things in the medical pre-op that they didn't like, and so I had to get a couple of my docs to write off and approve. And so anyway, now we're talking, you know, it's frustration upon frustration. My mm-hmm. my bone is still broken. It's even worse, you know, because of its positioning. So
mm-hmm.
I won't tell you what he said he's going to have to do to fix it. Just let it be known.
It'll make you cringe and drive off the road.
Just that, you know, okay, I'm going to be put asleep. That's all I need to know.
Uh-huh.
But just to say personally that now in the past, every piece of this would have just pushed me over the edge of frustration
mm-hmm.
into the valley of anxiety, which is adjacent to the valley of the shadow of death. And I would have been a horrible person to live with. My poor wife would have, you know, had to temporarily move back to her sister's because her mom and dad are both gone. I mean, you know, but thank God, God has moved in my life that mm-hmm. today I'm a lot more easier going and trusting in the Lord. And that I, at the very beginning, after all of this, I had God's peace. I had no idea where it was going or what had happened in the beginning, except I was in pain and certain parts were swelling. And the hand, you know, didn't look like the Goodyear blimp, but I have to tell you that it was swollen.
Yeah, you knew something was going on.
Something was going on. I didn't like it. But out of that, as the days wore on, and especially as I began to interact with the medical profession to try to get this thing discerned and fixed, I realized, you know, the enemy was really coming at me to mm-hmm. try to steal what peace I had.
He's opportunistic, David.
He's opportunistic. And, you know, these days and times, if you're the devil, and I'm pretty sure I'm not speaking to him. Well, yeah, I'm speaking to him directly because mm-hmm. he's listening. That if you're the devil, with all the chaos already going on around and all the spirit of heaviness that weighs down on everybody, at least in America, you know, the people I talk to,
mm-hmm.
That all of that already wears down whatever little peace you have. And so on top of this, I'd begun to perceive the devil is really wanting to have a field day, you know, right. And he wanted... he was whacking me upside the head and, you know, I mean, he was, jaw was getting jostled and, you know, thrown around and all this stuff. And finally, and this, thank God, the Holy Spirit, I just said, you know, devil, you have to go in Jesus' name, because you know God wants, God understands what's going on. He saw this coming. I'll bet he has a great plan that's going to unfold in the course of this. And you know what? I'm just going to enjoy this experience. This is a great adventure in the Spirit. And devil, you are not going to take away anything. My peace, my joy, my hope, none of that.
Amen.
And it's amazing, of course, the devil just kind of skitters away when you mention Jesus and get that hard with him.
Actually, he slithers.
He slithers, yeah, he does. You can hear it.
Yes.
Snake scales on concrete, you know, that sound. But anyway, we thought, and I thought, I shared with my brother Barry about these themes, and I said, well, we got a lot of people we know are listening that are going through the same kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because of where you are, you know, and this is no judgment on you, because we're all in different places spiritually, and, you know, some are stronger than others. You may be struggling with just what's going on in the world around you.
Right.
And you're taking hits from it, you know, and you don't like it, but you don't know what to do about it.
Right.
And so that's kind of why we're presenting these 3 points, because the devil definitely wants to steal your peace.
And you never take your peace or your hope or your joy for granted.
No.
Because if you do, the value goes down. And that's where trade-offs begin.
Yeah.
And it's a whole other show. But, David, I've watched you walk through this for the last week or so. And I saw him attacking you.
Mm.
I could see it in your face that he was buffeting you. And I'm going to pull the curtain back, people. David's a very prayerful man. And I know that he was fighting back.
Yeah.
Not him, but with the power of Christ.
Amen.
And thus the slithering. And his, well, I'll describe him right now. He's got a face full of hope. He's got a smile on his face. This man's going to have surgery Wednesday, and he's smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Let's get this done.
Yeah, I mean, what's cool, I have to say another cool thing when God gets you into something like this is you meet people you would never otherwise see.
That is so true.
You know?
You know, I have a little story, too, regarding hope, and I wish I could meet each and every one of you out there sometime. David and I probably need to meet you in a mall parking lot or something just to say hi and put a face with a name. But we're very well behaved on this program, but we're both kind of funny old goofballs. And myself is being a funny old goofball. Several years back, I began to do some stand-up comedy to raise money for 3 excellent charities. And I had never done anything like that before. I was kind of talked into it. And I got to tell you, the Lord took care of me, and they didn't throw rotten vegetables and tomatoes. They clapped, and we had a good time. And in one of the shows that I was presenting afterwards, a nondescript gentleman walked up, and he said, "If you can make my patients laugh, I will take you to lunch in any restaurant you pick." And I said, "Oh, well, doctor, what's your specialty?" And he said, "Oncology. I'm a cancer specialist."
Oh my!
And I was so pumped up from the show. I said, "Sure, why not?" And but the following days, it went through my mind, "Barry, what have you gotten yourself into?" And
yeah,
I went to the address that he gave me. And folks, if you ever want a wake up call, go to a chemotherapy center. Mm. And this particular one has about 15 patients at a time, all hooked up to IVs. Special chairs, and not to gross you out, but special buckets and lots of nurses. And it's a very silent place. And the fear in the room is palpable.
Mm.
And we're talking about hope. Well, that room has no hope.
Yeah.
And I said a prayer before I went into that room. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what I've got myself into, but give me the words. Tell me what to do." And he did. He said, "I'm stronger than all that."
Mm.
And make them laugh and poke fun at the monster. And I wasn't sure what that meant, but cancer is a big monster in the room.
Mm.
So I went in there, and for the next half hour or so, I went from patient to patient telling really corny jokes and doing impressions of them. And in one case, this gentleman got jealous, and he said, "Come make fun of my cancer." And so I made fun of his cancer. And we made fun of all the different cancers they had in the room. And they were all laughing and clapping, and then we were exchanging wigs because, you know, you lose your hair.
Yeah.
So the last thing I did was change everybody's wig out. And a couple of bald-headed gentlemen really liked that because now they had a blonde updo.
Yeah, but, really.
Anyway, I left the room, and the doctor said, I'll be darned. Where do you want to go? And but it made me stop and think. With my own ego coming off the stage, I thought, oh, gee whiz, I'm so pumped up, I could do anything. And then reality set in, no, you can't.
Yeah.
Not without God. Now, in that situation, I was able to witness a room that was absolutely and utterly hopeless and full of fear.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the stories I've heard about the concentration camps, the same thing. And the Jewish humor is a dark humor, but it's a humor all the same, where they poke fun of the monsters too.
Yes.
And in the laughing at the monster, he loses his grip and his power. I think we need to do that to Satan more often.
Laugh at the devil every chance you get.
Amen, brother.
He hates that.
Yeah.
You know?
Disrespect him. Let's say, give him a poke in the eye, huh?
He is probably the most insecure being in creation.
Yeah.
And when you laugh at insecure people, they really don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
But the truth is, he has a good reason to be insecure, because he's already a failure. He's already lost the war.
Mm-hmm.
He's just counting the days until he gets locked up in hell for eternity. So, you know, ain't no joy there, for sure.
Oh, yeah,
and he
no
loves
joy.
Company.
There's no hope, there's no joy, and there's no peace. Not in that entity.
What Barry just shared with you as far as the story and what I shared with you is really embedded into the Philippians 4:4-7 verses that mm-hmm. Barry read at the beginning of the program, is that, you know, you rejoice in the Lord always, and that, you know, that we'll get probably get we'll talk about that again when we get into joy in another program, but rejoice in the Lord always. Let your reasonableness, I like this, be known to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but, and this is the key, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And supplication is an interesting word, because it means to come before the Lord in humility and that recognize that he is all powerful and you are not. And with thanks, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that out of this, both Barry and I recognized that we had to pray. We did pray. We came before the Lord. And so mm-hmm. we need your help. We can already see that the seas are rough here.
That's right.
And he granted that. And so at the beginning, when we stepped in the water, if you will, the water that was raging and foamy, you know, that we had God's peace already. We never lost it. And so we could face the storm and laugh at it. And the storms in your life, you know, God wants you to give you the power to be able to laugh at them.
Amen. And, you know, when in the first verse, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. We can't, in our little puny minds, paint a picture of that glory. Now, David, you're an artist.
Yeah.
Pretty good artist, folks. And he can draw an idea just like that. And it's very accurate. But, you know, when you think about the glory that's waiting for us,
yeah,
because we never experienced it here, our pictures get cheap. It's like when you see the morning sunrise and all those colors, the pink, the peach, the beautiful shades of gray. Only God can make gray beautiful.
Yeah, really.
And then you try and sit down and paint that. It just doesn't come out the same. Same thing with what we try and imagine our eternal life will be like in that glory.
Yeah.
You know, we can't fathom glory. Doesn't add up.
We can't. And even while we're trying to do that, we recognize it belongs only to God.
You know, my dear mother, bless her heart, bless her soul, anytime one of us got hurt, fall off a bike, gash your head open, because we were boys and we were rough and tough and all, I remember a fish hook going through my brother's hand.
Oh.
And her response was always, well, think of how Jesus suffered. You just have a hook in your hand. Barry, you got three stitches in your head. Imagine him. It put things in perspective.
It's a great perspective.
It really is. Look what he had done to him.
Yeah.
And so your sufferings, you're suffering. David, your finger's broken. Your hand's broken. You're suffering. It could have been a lot worse.
Could have been.
And what we don't know is why this happened yet, and we probably will find out as you go through the process of the surgery and meeting folks in the medical field.
I'll have an interesting testimony, although I do now for sure have it confirmed that I'm gravitationally challenged, brother.
But the gravity in your house is stronger. I've been there.
Yeah, it is, folks, especially near the bed.
As soon as you walk through the front door, you just feel it. Oh, yeah, it pulls,
You know,
your scales are off.
You're speaking about me being an artist, and when I was doing the medical pre-op stuff, one of the things they had to do was get some blood, and so the young lady comes in, says, "I'm going to have to draw some blood," and I said, "Well, hey, that's cool. So I'm an artist. I could draw blood too."
Did she get it?
Yeah, she laughed.
Oh, okay.
She laughed. Then she said, "My drawing would not be as good as what she was going to pull out of my arm." So,
Oh, yeah. You know, before I was a pastor and preacher, I was a respiratory therapist, and I used to draw arterial blood, which is a little deeper and more painful because you don't see it. You got to feel it. And
yeah.
The needle's about, I'm going to say, yay big. David's eyebrows will go up. It's a big needle. And
yeah.
People tend to swear a lot when you draw their blood. And one of the days that I was drawing blood, I had a patient named Jackie Gleason.
Ah, yes.
You talk about someone who exhibited at least the symptoms of no hope. He was a very ill man and been through a lot. And when I looked at his arms, there was scars all over from previous surgeries, cut downs, all kinds of things like that. And he said, "You're not going to get it," with that look, you know. And now you're talking to Jackie Gleason, right?
Those who don't know, because a lot of younger, Jackie Gleason was a comedian.
On the Honeymooners,
which is, and he was famous in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s.
Right.
You know,
right.
But he died in
the 80s, early 80s.
Early 80s. But for those of you, Gen Xers and millennials.
You won't know who he is.
You won't know who he is, but you can Google him or whatever.
But he was a loud, bossy man in his TV shows. And I tell you, in the intensive care unit, he was in character. So.
Yeah.
But he just seemed to be hopeless at the time. And what he didn't know is that I was using a baby needle on him. So as we were out of a conversation, I was drawing what they call a microsample. So he never felt a thing. When he got done with his long speech about giving up and why should I have any hope and I got this disease, I got that disease, I said, "We're finished." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, because you're a big baby, I used a big baby needle on you." And the biggest smile on his face because he got through it.
Yeah.
And for a moment, he seemed to cheer up a bit. And then that evening, my phone rings at home and it's the nurse from the nurse's station. They said, "Mr. Gleason wants to talk to you." So he's on the phone. He says, "Can you go back and draw my blood again?" I said, "I have a life." They know what to do, you know. But we developed a little bit of a friendship. And I think really what he needed was just someone to be his friend.
Yeah.
He seemed to have no friends. It was a very sad time.
People that at that level of influence, you know, they have a lot of hangers-on, but they really don't have any friends.
Not real friends. And
and
thus, if you have no friends and you get bitter, you lose hope.
Yeah,
the devil stole it. Well, no, he gave it away, right?
Often we assist, and it's not really a theft. It's because of our state of mind. We're not asking God for His peace or any of those gifts that we need, and we may be so downtrodden, so frustrated that we just don't think we'll ever get it.
You know. There was a quote from Robin Williams that was on Facebook, and essentially, I'm paraphrasing, I guess, but he said, "Be kind to everyone you meet, because behind their smile, everybody is fighting some battle."
Yeah.
And that's so true, because you may have friends and acquaintances out there that are smiling, but inside, they've lost all hope.
Yeah.
They have no peace.
And you wouldn't often know that.
Mm-mm.
You know, they might put up a good front. If you're spiritually sensitive, you can pick through that. And hopefully among their friends, there's someone that's really sensitive and can sit down and say, "All right, let's be honest," you know.
Right.
But when hopefully, well, I hope that you all who are listening now do know you can go to the Lord and get that gift, because it is a godly gift.
Yes, it is.
Any peace that I can generate on my own is transitory. It's flimsy. It's weak.
Cheap.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, I might have a brief flash of peace, and then it's gone.
Right.
Because it's not God-generated. It's not God-given. And, you know, I've done that before, very unsatisfying.
Mm-hmm.
But when God gives it, that's why, you know, I love what Paul calls it, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Because, hey, what's this peace going on here? You know, real peace, you know, because I'm not doing it. And I recognize it's a gift from God. I don't understand why I'm having this peace in the midst of this difficult time. But that's when you feel it.
Well, you know, David, unlike the audience right now, I had the perspective of seeing you going through the different phases.
Yeah.
You know, the shock and pain of the fall, and then going through the frustrating process, and then seeing your face beaming today.
Yeah.
And that's not David's power. That's God.
It's total gift.
And just being around it is contagious, folks.
we believe God wants you to have this peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we're simply, you know, serving him, being faithful to his call on us to encourage you that you can have this peace.
You got to ask for it.
You got to ask for it. You got to be in prayer about it. God's willing to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, I believe, you know, just standing on the brink of the abyss, looking down into the darkness, wondering, you know, I mean, when, not if, but when they're going to fall into that abyss. And God's right there with you. Jesus is standing next to you, if you'll only be aware of it. And to turn to him and say, Jesus, help me. Give me the peace. Give me the what I need. First of all, not to fear the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
And not to know that you're not going to let me fall into it.
Amen.
You know, and that's the message. It's true. We're not making this up. It's in the Word of God.
Just go to the Scripture. The Holy Word's right there.
And it's you just heard my testimony. You just heard Barry's testimony. Barry.
Yes.
We have just a very few seconds, as it were.
Ooh.
And I thought you would like to offer a prayer for our listeners before we sign off.
I'm honored. Let us pray. Oh, Holy Father,
Jesus,
you are our Holy Father indeed, and you really love your children more than we'll ever know. And you gift us over and over and over in our lives, and we do not deserve any of it. It is by your grace that we're given hope and peace and joy. For you want us to live a full life, a life full of hope and joy and peace. You don't want us to walk around, Lord, with a sad face, dragging along the ground, afraid of everything, fearing everything, full of anxiety. That's not what we were made for.
Amen.
So, Lord, we thank you. We come to you today, and we pray for all those listening right now that they find their way to the foot of the cross and look up and ask you for hope this very day. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you all, and we'll be talking to you next week. Have a good night or day.
Good night and good day. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
There is no one.